Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about hate crimes. There's an entire body of laws against hate crimes. Everybody seems to be worried about hate. Hate appears to be the gravest problem of our time. But hate is good. Hate gives a structure to our life. Hate gives us a reason to exist, a focus, something to strive for, an identity. Hate is energy, pure energy, provided by Mother Nature herself. Hate enables us to see through lies and pretense and helps us to concentrate on the essential. Hate is democratic. Even the rich and the powerful cannot hate more than their slaves and subjects. And soon, hate may well be all that we have left. Hate emancipates. Without hate for slavery, you cannot break your shackles. And without hate for injustice, there can be no justice. The greatest achievements of the human race have grown from hate and from the ability to control hate. Hate separates humans from animals. Animals do not hate, but humans do. Humans can hate for decades, sometimes their entire life. We can even pass hate on to our children and keep hate alive for centuries. Hate is a sign of abstract intellect, for only humans can hate people they have never seen or met, and only humans can hate concepts and processes. How can we know what love is if we refuse to recognize and understand hate? Love and hate are the two opposite sides of the same coin. Without hate, we are only halflings. In order to be complete, we need hate. Only fools talk endlessly about love, but forget the hate. Hate separates us from the meek and docile masses. Do not fear hate. Do not deny or reject hate. Accept hate. Embrace hate. Learn to know it and learn to use it. Hate is your most powerful weapon, a hidden source of your strength. Do not deny it from you. What the liberal elite fears most in this world is our ability to hate, because our hate will one day be the most revolutionary force on the planet. Our hate will destroy and create empires.
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Ah! All right, welcome to the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionradio.com. You are listening to the St. Thomas Show, and I am your host. Sonny motherfucking teeth. That's right, this is the guy. And this is the show. And the show is just about to begin. Opening song tonight is Metal Church, Needle and Suture by the now late second lead singer, Mike Howe, and off the album 11, which came out in 2016. And a very, very excellent comeback album for that band as well. And, that fans, good shit going on there, man. That's the thing. I have the honor and the privilege to interview Mike Howe not once but twice. And I did a tribute show for him here a few weeks ago here on Resolution Radio. Actually, I'm going to go back and try to mix that again, so just to kind of beef the levels up. But that being said, I definitely go and check out my tribute to Jeff LaBar of Cinderella, who died a couple days before. And you can check out that is an expanded edition that I put together. And remixed and remastered, and definitely some damn good tunes there from the boys in Cinderella, as well as featuring some of Jeff LaBar's solo material from his one solo album, 2014, and some good stuff there, that's for sure. Okay, so we have a lot of good stuff we want to try to cover, and I know I've been trying to get the shows back on a regular schedule. I just have some crazy ass shit going on as far as the schedule goes, and it's just a freaking nightmare sometimes. So I'm like juggling all sorts of different projects right now. It's just like, wow, I got so much stuff, almost to the point where sometimes I barely even get any time between things that I want to do, things that I need to do, and trying to find time even to listen to some new music. That's always been an issue with. Well, thing is, I get to hear some damn good music because a lot of the venues are opening back up and bringing some great bands in this summer and going into the fall. And some bands who supposedly had members who supposedly had the vid are back in gear. For example, Kiss was supposed to be here in Dayton, supposedly for their last show here in the Gym City. At the Nutter Center last month, and it has been rescheduled for October 17th, I do believe. So that's cool. So it's not too long of wait, and I'll be able to see the boys in the black and white silver, and this should be the last gig here in the Miami Valley area, supposedly. That being said, some interesting stuff just last night, as a matter of fact. I was flipping through some video stuff. I'm on a couple different KISS channels. And one is like some KISS Archives channel or something on YouTube. And it was interesting. They had some audio soundboard clips of KISS during the Hot in the Shade tour at Auburn Hills in Michigan. And it was interesting with some of the song listings that were on this particular set list. Some songs, usually when they put out a new album, they'll play either the current singles, especially if they're a hit, and maybe one or two album cuts. Now, they did it a lot in the 80s with Creatures of the Night. They played stuff that was, because originally the only official single was I Love It Loud. But obviously they would play Creatures of the Night, I Still Love You, and War Machine. And on some set listings, I have seen them play Keep Me Coming, so I thought that was pretty interesting. But that whole album is just quintessential KISS, even though there's a band that was falling apart. That could almost be equated to their Abbey Road album. So if they had called it quits after that, they'd have one hell of a fucking album to end with, that's for sure. Similar to Thin Lizzy with Thunder and Lightning. What a great fucking album to go out on, that's for sure. But anyways, one of the songs from Lick It Up, the first album without makeup, is Fits Like a Glove. And another channel that I listen to had recently uploaded some demos from the Lick It Up recording sessions. Now, this one, for example, features the opening track, Exciter, with no lyrics, just instrumental. So it was actually pretty cool to hear that song in its raw form without hearing the lyrics. So it was actually pretty cool to check that out. They also had a very interesting version of the second song, Not for the Innocent. On the final version, it was Gene singing the whole song. On this particular version, it was actually an excellent hybrid between Gene and Paul, where basically Paul, I think, sang a verse. If not, he definitely sang the chorus. And it actually sounded pretty damn cool with them two of them ganging up on it. So very interesting. Now, I hope they release an expanded version where they reissue the albums with disc two. I've seen Love Gun out there with the second disc. It has a bunch of different demos on it. I think it may already actually have it ripped onto my hard drive. I'm not sure, but I thought that was pretty cool. But just usually plays, especially during Lick It Up, Creatures Lick It Up and Analyze, they would often feature additional album cuts in the set list. But as soon as the next album come out, many of those other tracks would just disappear. So even though To Love You, Creatures of the Night, and War Machine are still live staples, and Kiss sets up to this day, for Lick It Up, you would not have heard Fits Like a Glove. However, the demo version of Fits Like a Glove is actually even more badass, especially the break in the middle when he's like, when I go through her, boom, it's just like a hot knife, boom, through butter. And he's got this fucking, just high-end accelerated scream, and then finally, oh, yeah. So this actually does a break and then kind of elongates that a little bit before he goes into that ascending scream, and you're just like, holy fuck, dude, that version's even more badass. So like I said, it's really cool to hear some of these alternate versions and things like that. I mean, obviously you saw with the Beatles anthology, the whole damn thing pretty much is all alternate takes of tracks and stuff. So you get to hear different things, different mixes, things that tried. Dates made, or you have like a false start or something. So it really gives you even more appreciation, especially if you're a musician, to listen how other musicians are not just gods, but they do make mistakes from time to time, and it's actually some pretty cool shit. So I thought that was neat. So anyways, get to the point while I was even talking about this. I want to do the channels, and they actually have footage from their Kiss 2020 Goodbye show in Dubai. And there's a couple of different things about that particular show that was featured. Obviously, the crowd was so far away from the band. Even Paul Stanley's stage out in the crowd probably only went out maybe 150 feet, 200 feet tops. He was nowhere near the crowd whatsoever. And he was really trying his best to make sure when he doing I Was Made for Loving You that he still had a little bit of falsetto with his voice because, you know, his voice is fried and he's, 69 years old. So I think that's pretty interesting. But so I saw another clip for God of Thunder. Two things I noticed immediately. Gene did not spit blood. And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. You know, he did not do his trademark spitting blood before he does God of Thunder. And I was like, well, it kind of defeats the purpose that he's doing the whole fucking song, you know? And then as his platform was ascended up into the air, I started singing the song. And, of course, now images of him all over the place with his bloody face, you know, the whole lower face is all bloody, basically lip-syncing the song with him. However, he changed the lyrics, which I thought was very interesting. In the lyrics of God of Thunder, he says, rob you of your virgin soul. here, he says, rob you of your sacred gold. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, and why would I change that? Well, obviously, Dubai is a Muslim country, so it's interesting he would say that. And then of all choices, he says sacred gold. That just re-underscores that he's a Jew. Secondly, I think it's also interesting is the fact that I saw a comment on there afterwards. It's like, well, that lyric is appropriate because that's how we felt ever since the farewell tour in 2000. I was like, wow, what a fucking comment, man. I thought that was pretty fucking cool. But anyways, it even shows the mighty kiss has to bow down to the powers that be. As in, be, biblically, be. Gabish. So, anyone who's a KISS fan knows that reference is from. So, I thought that was pretty interesting. So, it's good to go to concerts and be able to have a good time again. Now, that being said, some venues, depending on locations, are definitely at the whims of their neighbors. For example, I am a big Testament fan. I got into Testament in 1989, 90. It's probably summer of 89. I had bought the Practice What You Preach album, and I thought it was a really, really solid fucking album, rock solid. And I've been a Testament fan ever since. I've seen them several times over. I think I saw them like five times on the Ritual Tour in 1992. Did not get to see them on Low, though, with James Murphy. God damn, that's one of my favorite Testament albums. And I did not get to see them on that tour. Let's see. When did I see them again? Don't recall if I got to see them in Dark Roots of the Earth. I'm not sure. You gotta remember that type of shit, but I'm not sure. But I did get to see them a couple years ago. A buddy of mine messaged me at 2 o'clock in the morning because Testament was one of the openers for Slayer on their so-called final tour. And so he gave me a ticket, and I got – but I even left work early to get down there, and I was pissed because by the time I got up in there and got to my seat, I got to see 2.5 songs because Testament was the opening band. I was so fucking pissed. I did buy the swag, though, and, you know, show my support for Testament. Saw Anthrax. I was finally get to see Anthrax with Joe Belladonna, and I tell you, I was disappointed. I would never pay to see Anthrax again. Lamb of God, I think, was one, and then there was another one. I don't even remember what the fuck they were. And then I saw Slayer. And I've never been a big Slayer fan, but my God, they put on a hell of a fucking show, man. It's fun. But then every song sounds the same, you know? It does. Every song sounds the same. So at least I got to say I saw Slayer. Okay, so getting to the point here, they're supposed to be playing near the area, near Halloween. So basically, I think it was October 29th. They're supposed to be playing down in Covington, Kentucky, at a venue. And I wasn't able to go because I've already planned. However, they're playing in Columbus, Ohio, that following Tuesday, November 2nd, I think. And I was like, oh, great, I'll just go get tickets for that because it's the Bay Area Strikes Back Tour or some shit. So you've got Testament as the headliner, Exodus, and Death Angel. Never seen Exodus, never been a big fan, even though I like the Toxic Waltz. Kick your friend in the head, kick him, kill him, touch the head. Death Angel, I liked a little bit back in the day. Their version of Cold Gin was pretty good, but I never really paid much attention to them. Now, I did pay attention to them a few years ago. They had come back, and their, what's the name of that newer album? Something Cries Out for Blood. I forget the name of the album. Anyway, it had an excellent album cover, and I tweeted out the excellent artwork that was featured on record, and actually Death Angel retweeted it. I thought that was fucking cool. So I started listening to some of that track. And then I got the follow-up album, what's it called? It's got a moth on it or some shit. You know, this is one thing I really hate these days about not having physical CDs in my hand, is I don't get a chance to look at the tracks, read the lyrics as I listen to the songs. I mean, it really is a disconnect for me because I can't listen to an album and actually absorb it if I don't have the fucking thing in front of me. So, some of the tracks I have were pretty solid, and I've played two or three tracks of it on here on the show. So anyway, to make a long story short, that was going to be the show that I was going to be able to go to. So I went to go get tickets last Friday, and I come across this warning that basically says, before you went to purchase the ticket, this warning came up that basically says, if you're going to go to the Newport Music Hall in Columbus, you have to show proof of vaccination. Excuse me? Fuck you. So someone had sent me a story about a week or so before. OSU, the Ohio State University, I guess, is now doing mandatory vaccinations for faculty and students. Well, that's going to kill the enrollment, because any motherfucker is going to realize, I got to get the jab to fucking get my fucking shit. Fuck you, I'm out. And that's what needs to happen, is that they basically say, all right, fine, fuck you, I'm gone. Some of the colleges over the last few years, they've allowed the fucking monkeys to run rabid and basically kick whites out and have black-only meetings and all sorts of shit. There's somewhere in, was it Mizzou? Yeah, which is Missouri State University, whatever, Mizzou, which has turned into a fucking zoo, literally. Most of the white students did not re-enroll and left the university because they allowed the Kefirs to run wild and basically let them do whatever the fuck they want. So that university lost a shitload of money, to the point where I guess they started to crack down on that somewhat because they lost their ass, which means if they don't have students in there, no one's going to support those fucking sports teams. Those sports teams is where they make their money. And I know we got a lot of Buckeye fans around here who swear, you know, matter of fact, let me put it this way, the guy I work with is such a diehard OSU fan. He's got an Ohio State tattoo on his frickin' arm. He's got the O logo, and he's even got Brutus, which is their mascot. Brutus, which almost is an excellent detail. It looks like a fucking sticker on his arm, but he's actually got Brutus just above the O with the football in his hand. So I was like, holy fuck, he had some diehard fucking OSU fans. So he definitely bleeds, crimson and gray. But that being said, I thought that was kind of interesting because what the fuck, you know? I mean, seriously. OSU is basically demanding that you have to have the jab for the faculty doesn't have a job. And it's really sad. So I think it's definitely a sad state of affairs that they have dictatorial powers. And so it's fine if they want to say that on campus, but they basically have intimidated or by guilty of association have forced businesses on the streets there by Ohio State University to start demanding the same thing. So actually, I'm going to call the manager of the place. I'll even find who actually owns it and just say, hey, I just want to let you know that because you have taken up a stance, not only would I'm going to have to miss out on that great fucking concert, I am getting the word out that no one is to waste their money going to Newport Music Hall, even if they do have a shot, because the fact that you are basically forcing people to have to make a choice to visit your establishment. To me, that is another definition of fascism and authoritarianism, because basically to get on your damn premises, I have to have a jab. Well, you know what? You're not going to have a job, because if no one shows up to these gigs, no one's going to book any bands, and these bands aren't cheap, especially when it's been around for a while. So that's a fucking joke. So, so that really pissed me off. So I'm going to get to miss out on Testament, which sucks because their current album is pretty badass. I think it's what they called Titans of Creation or something like that, and it's much better than the last album, Brotherhood of the Snake. But, it really pisses me off because I was looking forward to seeing those three bands back-to-back because I've wanted to see Death Angel for a while. And, like I said, I'm a big Testament fan. So I was like, well, that hell sucks. That's for sure. But have someone who's on the line who I'm going to get their take on a couple of topics. And I think you're really going to like this person. She is pretty fucking cool. That's all I can say that. So, again, I encourage you to check out my tribute to Jeff LaBar of Cinderella. It's been remixed and remastered. And about a week or so later, I did a tribute to Mike Howe of Metal Church. And it features both interviews I did with him here in Dayton, Ohio, as well as in Indianapolis, Indiana, in 2016 and 2019, respectively. Okay, so we will be back right after these brief messages, and we'll get to hear from a very, very energetic and interesting individual.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
It's a House of Blues break.
Hey, sometimes it's a whole lot easier listening to the blues than attempting to try to define it. According to blues guitarist Eric Girardi, the blues means so much to so many different people, but it's just hard to define exactly what it is that makes this music so appealing.
But some people, it has such a profound effect. I really don't know, but all I know is the first time my dad threw me on my bed and made me listen to Jimmy Reed, and he scratched my Ozzy Osbourne record in the process and said, "Son, time we had a talk. Listen to this." It had a profound effect on me, and I just, whenever I picked up a guitar, that's what would come out. I'd be playing "Baby, What You Want Me to Do," no matter what I wanted to play. It just kept coming out. So let's just not question it, and let's just be happy that it's there, I suppose.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You're listening to The St. Thomas Show with St. Thomas on ResolutionRDO.com. Call in or listen now at 607-203-5423. That's 607-203-5423.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
the blessing of Tyr be upon you.
All right, welcome back to the Resolution Radio Network at ResolutionRadio.com. You are listening to the Sonny Thomas Show, and I'm that guy. That's right, sonny motherfucking T, you whiny bitches. But you can't be too whiny, because obviously you tune into this, and you want to hear some real fucking shit. So it's pretty real, dude. I call it, I see it, and I don't censor for nobody. That's who I am, and I don't give a damn. Don't like it, go listen to another channel. That being said, I would want you to listen to other great programs on this radio channel. On Sundays, don't have a program on Sundays at the moment, but we may be working on one soon. As I, take my finger and go, Mondays is American Dissident Voices with Kevin Alfred Strom, which I just want to note recently that their listenership on ADV has actually tripled the last few weeks. I had featured Kevin on here about 3-4 weeks ago, and he re-edited the show into two parts on ADV for his listening audience through all the different channels that they have. And so we have been seeing a listenership here starting to pick up a little bit lately. Unfortunately, Gunnar Troy is no longer doing European American News, which sucks because I really enjoyed that program and I always appreciate his point of view. He's got a lot of stuff on his plate, so he's having to take a back seat. So excited to come back. Greg Gunnar, if not, wish you the best, brother, because in fact, I really enjoy your program, man. You always have some good commentary, that's for sure. Always enjoy his viewpoint. Tuesdays is Solar Storm with Kyle Hunt, and Thursdays is the STS. Friday is the Political Cesspool with James Edwards and Keith Alexander. And Saturdays is Nordic Frontier, which is the English language program of the Nordic Resistance Movement. Yes, featuring Andreas Johansson, who is fast becoming a star in his own right. And I encourage you to go back and listen to his programs. We were having some issues getting the show run through here again, but we figured out what was going on. They changed some of the parts on the website, and so we got that fixed, and Andreas pointed me in the right direction, boom, get that all set. So I spent last weekend making sure we had all the shows from August all appropriately uploaded and up there. So I encourage you to go back and listen to Nordic Frontier and check out those programs as well. So we have two vacancies open on day and Sunday. And I have one gentleman who is interested in maybe starting a program and joining us, and possibly another lady who's also interested in possibly joining us and giving us her point of view and just shows how savvy she is on topics and things of that nature. And this is that individual. So, Mary Jane, welcome to the Sonny Thomas Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
This chick is awesome, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you what, I got to meet her a while back because we have some common interests. And I was just so amazed by her, not only in person, but just her enthusiasm for any given subject matter, which is something that is really required for any proper radio host, because you don't want to sound like you're on NPR, or just monotone and basically talking about shit that it doesn't matter. No, you come on this show, you hear all sorts of stuff. You hear about what's going on. You hear about all the anti-white shit going on. You hear some kick-ass music. And sometimes I even feature some of these artists themselves. So, I mean, it's always great fun. Now, MJ here, as she sometimes goes by, has done some stuff in the past as well on other programs. And she's definitely got the talent. So I'm hoping that if things go well, MJ will also be coming to Resolution Radio and lending us her great voice and intuitive viewpoints, because the fact, just as Gunnar Troy, MJ has a really interesting way of looking at things. And that's what I always strive for. Ultimately, we want all original talent on this radio network, but we have other shows we definitely fall in our viewpoints, that's for sure. But I just want to just go over this little situation that happened to me the other day, MJ, and I want to get your take on it before we kind of talk about your background a bit. I stopped at the I stopped at a gas station to pick up something. And I walked in there. And this dude had walked in right behind me. I didn't really see him, but, you know, I just kind of, you know, and he walked past me. He keeps walking straight to the coat case and goes and gets himself a drink. And I went and got myself, what the fuck did I get? Oh, I think I got two peanut butter jelly sandwiches that they have there, which are really cool. And I think a sundae. Yeah, I think I got a frozen sundae out of the ice box. Anyway, so I was standing along, right? And then I looked over and I see this dude start walking towards me a little bit. And he's got this black T-shirt on. And it says, seriously, microchipped, hashtag vaccinated. And I just looked down and I was absolutely horrified. I was like, who in their fucking right mind would advertise that they're a fucking slave? So I looked away for a second, and about 10 seconds went by, and I just couldn't let it go. And I looked down and said, dude, is that sure for real? He goes, you know, it sounds like a little bit of a liberal fag, and like a beta male. He goes, do I know you? And he's looking at me like he's wanting to fucking, like, you know, step up, you know? Kind of like he thinks he's going to be trying to be Billy Badass or something. I'll just high up and said, you keep looking at me like that, motherfucker, you're going to know me up close to person real goddamn quick. But I just looked at him and said, no, dude, but I'm just asking you, dude, is that real? Are you actually microchipped? And he tried to say, are you microchipped like a dog? He said, oh, that's actually supposed to be a joke. I said, that's not a joke, dude. That's not something you want to advertise. And then I went to go take my thing, and while she's getting stuff for me, I turn around and I try to change the angle of the conversation, because, you know, because it's a really controversial topic, man. I mean, some people don't know it's in the stuff. You see stories where, you know, people are taking magnets up to the point of injection and it's sticking to them because of shit in it. I mean, all sorts of crazy stuff going on. I mean, there's so much disinformation as well. Nobody really knows what to believe, but I can't imagine anyone want to brag that, you know, no, they took that shit, but they're a fucking slave. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So I tried to find an exact T-shirt online the next day, and I actually came across a couple cool-ass shirts on Amazon. One, like I said, says, My Body, My Choice, and I had a syringe with a no sign on it, so I ordered that. Another one basically listed some of the ingredients that are in the vaccines, like mercury, animal genes, aborted fetus cells, this, that, and the other. And then Reddit says, make sure you educate before you vaccinate. So I'm like, cool T-shirt should I buy off of there? So that's just one, if he is, that is one fucking lost slave that can never be redeemed. So I don't know if you've encountered weird shit like that, MJ, but what are your thoughts on that crazy shit?
Oh, I definitely have. And real quick, before I even provide any sort of thought, you set me up way too good. You set people's expectations way too high for me. Now I'm going to do nothing but disappoint. it's funny because I was just thinking about this the other day. It wasn't in the same context or even about the vaccine, but have you ever, the whole NPC meme? I don't know if you've ever seen that. And I don't play video games. I don't know what NPC, I don't remember what it stands for. But it has to do with, like, the computer player on a video game. And this is completely different, but it's kind of like the same thing to me. It finally clicked in my head the other day. I finally got the meme because it's like they're just so brainwashed. It's unrealistic. It's unbelievable, like, how brainwashed these people are. Like, they don't think for themselves at all. You should have said to him, though, you know, like, that you should have just been like, hey, man, you're going to scare people off from getting the vaccine if you keep putting on your shirt that, if you keep wearing a shirt that's telling people it's got a chip in it, turn it around on him. But
well, it was interesting. What also is interesting is what they're doing in the video games, out of the program. I mean, I'm not a big gamer like I was back in, you know, middle school. I mean, back in those days, I used to have in television. And I played that thing to death. Matter of fact, I still have the original unit, even though it's a Sears copy. And my uncle passed away recently, so I actually got one of his, too. So I actually have two of those, and they both work. And I bought a PlayStation 2 about 10, 12 years ago because I wanted a multimedia player that I could use to play different things on. And I bought a few video games, and there's some of my, especially in the wintertime, I'd veg out and play all weekend long, especially when the weather's shitty. But for the most part, man, I don't have time to sit there and play mind-numbing video games. So that's an interesting thing. And then a friend of mine had sent me a post that I reposted today, and this is interesting. He says, well, I've heard everything now. World of Warcraft just removed green-skinned character names because they declared it racist. Green skins refer to orcs. That's right. The snowflakes out there are so offended that they are now declaring racism against fictional creatures. No more racist comments towards orcs.
I just remembered this, actually. And it's been ongoing with me and this coworker for, like, 2 weeks. She started talking to me one day, and she's really, no, I messaged her. I was like, hey, I noticed you haven't been at work for a while. What's up? And she actually had told me that, you know, her and her son were sick, and she thought she had COVID, and they had just gotten the vaccine. She had just gotten it, and he was about to get it, and so she was freaking out. And this was, you know, right around the time where a lot of people were, a lot of doctors were starting to come out and say, like, you have a high probability of getting COVID if you get the vaccine. And then about a week or two goes by, and so I asked how she was doing and how her son was doing, because, you know, I wanted to make sure that everything was okay. And she said, well, my son hasn't tested positive for COVID, but he's showing all the signs of it. So I'm keeping him home, and I'm just going to keep getting him tested over and over. And it's just, I don't know, it boggled my mind that these people are so scared. You know, on the one hand, they want to believe everything they're told so fervently. They'll do whatever they're told. But on the other hand, like, now that they've had this, like, fear confirmed within them that these things are happening within our society, this big illness is taking everything over, nothing is good enough until they can confirm the fact that they have it so they can take appropriate action. And it's just this weird cycle of fear and then more fear and more fear. And that's kind of like what I equated this whole NPC thing to. That's when it kind of clicked in my head, like, wow, these people really do exist.
Well, the thing gets me is, and the one of the jokes is, you know why there's no COVID in the Amish community? Because they don't turn on TV.
It's true. I remember, like, back when this all first started, a lot of people were saying, you know, if we didn't have the news, if we weren't watching the news, none of us would have known COVID existed. It probably would just be some regular annual flu or cold, because these things happen pretty much regularly, and life would have just gone about as normal. It's kind of like what Ted Kaczynski said in his manifesto. These problems didn't exist on such a mass scale. Problems always existed, but not at such a massive scale until technology pretty much made it widespread for everyone.
Well, this is just another tentacle of the New World Order, because when you really start fighting the beast, you know, I was watching a video from John Birch Society today, and I think Robert Owens is the name of the presenter, and I've seen him before. I think he came to my local GOP and spoke a number of years ago, and I've seen him in another place. Yeah, I think he was part of the 18... Yeah, I think it was like the 18, 19, there's a group out there here in Ohio, which basically refers to Ohio's original constitution or something like that. And basically it's a back to basics and Ohio's sovereignty type of group. Like I said, some of these groups I just haven't looked at in a while, so I'm really rough at remembering some of the details. But he's at the John Birch Society now, and he's talking about that basically if you're fighting a beast, you want to basically do a headshot, because you don't want to fight tentacles, because one, you're going to run out of energy, and then the tentacles will envelop you anyway. And not only that, but each tentacle you cut off, it's like a hydra. It just grow back another one. So this is just another tentacle, as well as the LGBT bullshit, the refugee crises, Federal Reserve, all the shit all connected to the CFR. So that was pretty interesting. Commented that this is a good gateway drug to introduce people to the new world order. So one of the things I've noticed is Fox News is completely just as the documentary they talked about 20 years ago and the left were trying to deride it. It is faux news. So it's basically F-A-U-X instead of F-O-X. So we saw that as early as 08 when Ron Paul was running for office and how much Fox News ignored him. And then it's so compromised now, it's pretty obvious during Trump that they were not as friendly towards Trump as they should have been. And they're the ones that actually called the election for Beijing Biden before it was even fucking announced. So that's a very scary situation. There is almost no news media on there that's worth really watching, getting quality information from. Because as Robert Owens brought up statistically said, what I oftentimes get asked about news outlets such as Newsmax, Epoch Times, this, that, and the other, he goes, it's very simple. Here's the question. Did they talk about the CFR? If they don't talk about the CFR, then they're compromised. And that's a very, very slim down and precise answer. And because the question is, none of those outlets talk about the CFR. So I think that's pretty interesting because the more people start to find out what's going on and connect them dots, they know something's up. But the same stroke, I have not heard Fox News when I've turned it on talk anything about the shit that's going on in France, the riots going up against the lockdowns, as well as the refugees and the COVID bullshit. And no one's talking about what's going on in Australia, where basically they've announced that they are instituting a new world order down here. The world's former largest penal colony has now become an official penal colony. So nobody's talking about this shit. And so I don't know if you follow up on any of that stuff at all, but I know you're a fairly astute current events person. What are your thoughts on that? Have you noticed other topics or things that are going on that news media outlets are just completely ignore?
Well, you know, I'll say this first and foremost. I just kind of stopped watching the news. It's gotten to the point, well, I feel like I should probably start keeping up again because things are escalating at such a rapid pace. And I have realized recently that there is actually benefit, even if it's just to, you know, keep up in what they're telling other people. Because for a while, it was just so out there and coming from all sides. And like what you said, Fox News, it's just bonus. Pretty much CNN, Fox News, NBC, MSNBC, all of these, it's just like arms of the state media, you know. It doesn't really make a difference what you watch. They just cater to like these different little political ideologies. As long as they get you to the same conclusion, it doesn't really matter how they do it. But they pretty much ignore all topics. They ignore basically everything that's going on throughout the world. When I do turn it on, the only thing they're talking about is COVID. Or, you know, every once in a while they'll pepper in some new, like, police brutality thing. I'm not necessarily the best person to ask just because I've gotten so sick of the news that I've stopped paying attention to it, at least in terms of, like, mainstream media, if that's what you even want to call it, state media.
Well, it's good that you bring that up because local news here is really bad for that. Channel 7, which is pretty much state-run propaganda, until recently, the only thing we're talking about is the supposed death toll that doesn't really exist. That's all they talked about was how many cases are reported. But you know what? You walk in any of these hospitals, MJ, you don't see shit. There's a video that some lady shot over in England. She literally walked into the second floor of this hospital, which was supposed to have been barricaded off. There wasn't a single fucking person in that hospital. There was, like, one nurse supposedly walking around somewhere, but the floors were vacant. There were no patients, yet supposedly this thing was supposed to be completely overwhelmed with COVID patients. It was supposed to look like any particular disaster movie, like even an episode of Walking Dead, you know, when it first started. You'd see bodies everywhere, and this is not the case. So that's... And there's none of that, but the hospitals say, oh, we're not allowing visitors. That's because there's no one there to see.
Yeah, I've definitely seen videos like that, too, actually. Excuse me. I'm not entirely sure around here, but I imagine it's pretty similar. In fact, this is maybe not quite on the same, like, wavelength or idea. It almost seems like they're trying to purport the idea that there is some sort of, like, nursing shortage. And it may just be because nurses are quitting. And, well, no, that's not even true, because I remember, too, earlier, even, you know, throughout 2020, like, nurses were getting laid off because they just weren't needed. And now, I think this was in Cincinnati, in fact. I heard of a commercial, or I saw something online or something. They were trying to, like, create an accelerated program for people to become nurses, even if you don't have a nursing background, go through school, and, like, now you can, like, basically get a nursing certification in a shorter amount of time because they're so desperate for nurses, supposedly. Now, what's behind that, I don't know. Or they're just trying to lower their standards, which they often do, you know, lower standards, lower the quality.
So basically it's an STNA program on steroids is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. And it sounded like they were trying to make out, like, the idea that there's a shortage of nurses, which I would believe. I feel like they're probably – I know people who have been in the medical industry that have decided to quit their jobs over this, or at the very least are considering quitting their jobs, whether it be because they're about to be forced to take this gene therapy or because they simply don't agree with what's going on. And I know for a fact that there were a lot of nurses and medical staff that were laid off last year throughout the country.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I named this episode Sheep and wool, Wolves and Sheep, because of the fact that you need to start asking yourself, who's the wolf and who's the sheep? It's kind of like what Benito Mussolini said, I would rather be a lion for a day than a sheep for 100 years. I mean, it's pretty freaking obvious that so many people out there believe the bullshit, and I think, just like Nixon said, all people believe what's on television. Yeah, you turn on local news like Channel 7, WHIO, you know, if Cheryl McHenry tells you that, oh, you need to get vaccinated because all these people are fucking dying. And the thing that gets me the most is people miss the whole point of why you get inoculated. If four out of five people are inoculated, who gives a fuck about the fifth person? If the fifth person gets the contagion and dies or gets terribly sick, who cares? Because the other four are supposedly immune, right? I mean, prime example is, I don't know if you watched the show Outlander about the lady who is a World War II nurse after World War II and ends up going through the stone there, Craig Nadun, and goes back 200 years just before the Battle of Culloden in Scotland. And one of the points she brought up is the fact that she comes across people who are infected with the pox. And, of course, she's already had her shot, so she's immune to it. So she can walk amongst people because she's already had the vaccine and she doesn't have to worry about getting smallpox. But the thing is that, okay, she's inoculated. So what difference does it make? You know, if everyone else dies of the shit, she's got it. Who cares, right? So that's the thing. It's like shaming you for not taking the shit. And that way, if it goes bad, then everybody shares the fucking fault. Instead of asking who's to blame, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, especially what's specifically unique about this vaccine, if you want to call it that, and COVID in general, is like all these people, they've gotten their first and their second round, and now they're being told they have to go out in first masks, if not second masks, and we're definitely probably about to start shutting down again. So, you know, the vaccine only does so much. And, of course, they're already talking about getting boosters. And, you know, on the left will, of course, cope with the fact that you have to get boosters for other shots, too, but not like what they're talking about with this. So, another thing that really sticks out to me, too, is I will go into Walmart or really any store when I do actually go out and go to stores. And all you hear on repeat over the come get your vaccine for free at this station at the front of the store. Get it today and help stop spread and all this stuff. And it's like the fact that they are I mean, you know that there's something more behind it when they are still trying this hard. And I don't know, have you heard about this? I've been working all day, so I haven't caught quite all the way up. But have you heard about, like, everything that Biden announced?
No. What's going on?
All right. So I'm not exactly the best person to ask because I literally just got off work and called in. But what they're doing is trying to start some sort of mandate or regulation. So businesses with 100 employees or more that are regulated by the Department of Labor will be required to vaccinate, or the business will be fined for every person not vaccinated. The fine will be up to $14,000 per person or per offense or something like that. Anyone who's receiving Medicare or Medicaid will be required to get it, or they'll stop receiving their benefits, and a few other things. So, you know, these are the types of mandates are the types of things that we've been talking about for quite some time, and they might actually start doing it.
Well, I've heard other things about that, too. For example, let's see. Well, first of all, they can't do that because it violates several different statutes as well as HIPAA laws. Also, it violates here in Ohio, we actually have three exemptions. You have the personal / philosophical. You have medical and religious. Some states do not have the personal philosophical. They only have the medical and religious. And this is one of the things I had posted in the heathen community. I said specifically, we need to find out where in the Havamal, the Eddas, or the Sagas, or whatever, we need to find out a passage that basically protects us from this. Because if we try to, as heathens, or Azatru, and try to cite religious belief, we have to be able to point out chapter and verse, just like the Christians will, just like the Muslims will, just like the Jews will, so that automatically they can back it up with their statement. And all I heard was crickets, absolute crickets. You tell me some of these folk builders or Gothis or whatever who supposedly know these books inside and out can't even respond to a basic question, or at least say, I don't know, I'll get back with you. Won't even say that. So I know people have left groups because of the fact that they were completely ignored when they broached this topic. And it says something about that particular group. So it's a scary thought because we've got certain laws already in place. And if he tries to push it, that is what it is. It is medical tyranny, and that's outright authoritarianism. And I think if it gets to that point, it's time to lock and load. The third box of democracy is now wiped out, and we need to start going to the fourth box, which is the ammo box. And one of the things I keep talking about, this stupid January 6th bullshit, is instead of worrying about us supposedly going to our people's house, which is the freaking capital, they should be going to the Federal Reserve instead. This is a riot over the policies of the Federal Reserve, that people know that it's not federal and there are no reserves. You stand on the sidewalk, they won't do shit. You step one foot on those steps on the Federal Reserve property, security's out there trying to run you off. So just imagine if we had that mob out there, like what was in front of Capitol Hill, going up to the Federal Reserve and saying, you know what, not only are they going to drag out the Fed cabinet in the chair and tar and feather their ass, but we're going to burn that motherfucker to the ground. That's another reason why the Fed is getting ready to go for full digital currency. So because that way they won't need a printing press anymore. They literally control you with a couple tickles of the key and can have a fire sale on your ass and wipe you out.
Excuse me. Sorry. I'm actually getting over a cold myself. I might have the coof. I don't know.
You got the coof.
Here's
the thing about that shit. I haven't had a flu shot since 2008, MJ. And last year, I went on a suggestion. An ex-girlfriend told me, said, hey, you needed to just go heavy on the vitamin D next season. So I did. I did not even have one sniffle. And I can tell you, I'm out in the cold a lot, so knock on wood. I did pretty damn good not even getting a sniffle last year, and that's because I increased my vitamin D to 2 doses a day. I take one in the morning and one before I went to bed, so on top of my multivitamin. So I didn't use the extra zinc, and that was one of the things I heard was the vitamin D and zinc combination were really good at supposedly fighting this thing as well. And really, you're enriching yourself. So what have you got to lose, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, I don't actually think I have it. Or if I do, it's really, really, really mild. But I think that's part of the issue with people is they really don't actually take care of themselves nearly as well as they should in general. what I was about to say, though, I actually did misspeak somewhat. It was not – they're either required to they're going to mandate all employers to require the vaccination or weekly virus test. So one or the other. I agree, though. We do need to look into finding some sort of part of the Havamal or something with a religious exemption. And I've had quite a few people – you know, I have some people who are actually kind of rejoicing over this, not because they want it personally. Like, there's probably a part of them that's very unprepared for what would be to come. But at the same time, so many people are just so sick of teetering on the edge of, you know, what's going to happen next, or are people going to finally, like, stand up and put their foot down and, you know, actually do something about this. And if this actually happens, where they, even though you could call it unconstitutional, but that only goes so far at this point. There's a lot of things that are unconstitutional that they get away with. This at such a mass scale, I don't know. But, you know, if they can't do it through, like, judicial means, they'll do it through businesses, because that's how, you know, America works. They manage to do a lot through businesses. But it also just comes to a point where I have this one woman who's just freaking out. She's like, what are we going to do? We need to figure something out right now. Like, what are we going to do? I said, well, you have to make up your mind. I spoke with a man recently who said he was on the brink of losing his job, a very good job, a very well-paying job that he has to get the vaccine for. And he said to me, I've had to do a lot of soul searching about this, and it's just not worth getting this vaccine, you know. The job is worth losing. And a lot of people are going to have to actually face these. And so I saw the title of your show. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I keep clearing my throat. I saw the title of your show. What was it? Wolves and Sheep. And that's exactly what I thought of, because it really comes to the point of people making these decisions. Are you willing to actually face discomfort? Or are you just going to keep doing whatever you're pushed into doing? And, you know, people who have been going on and on and on about government tyranny and about how they're coming after us, people have been talking about it for years, but when they're actually faced with this moment of having to make a decision, I think a lot of people are going to bow down and just kind of do what they're told, not saying everyone, and that's where it really comes to the front, where you have to become comfortable with confrontation if you're not already. I'm not necessarily comfortable with it, but I like to believe I'm willing to face it. I haven't been forced to, but we'll find out what happens. Excuse me. We'll find out what happens with this whole new mandate that Biden just put out.
Well, I think how they're going to do this is, you know, well, first thing that Trump did when he got in office was he deregulated a lot of shit. And that's what jump-started the economy in 6 months. I do not recall Biden reissuing any regulations yet. Maybe that's what he was waiting on, so that way he can mix this in with the regulations being reinstituted, maybe even hammered down, that's basically a rider on many of the regulations, that you have to force this on somebody. And I said succinctly, I said, if these companies, especially those well over 100 employees, because, you know, they essentially have a headquarters, is beware. If you decide to pull that shit, expect your fucking headquarters, you Molotov cocktails, especially while those motherfuckers that made that decision are inside. It's going to start looking like fucking Waco. And that's the attitude we need to have, is that basically if you basically pull that trigger, motherfucker, this is going to be the blowback you're going to get. And, you know, because as much as they're bitching saying that, they can't find people out in the workplace. You know, I drive by signs at Wendy's. They've got $12 an hour job offers with $500 sign-on bonuses. Dude, I wish I had that shit when I worked fast food all those years ago. I'd have been one happy motherfucker. But supposedly,
sorry.
Yeah, supposedly, you know, they can't find anybody to work. And I'm just kind of like, what the fuck, dude? I don't understand this. All the unemployment shit ended over a year ago. How is it that people are still getting COVID payments? And what's the incentive to go back unless you cut it off?
I don't know. It's funny you mention that. I've actually been, just for the sake of it, I figured, why not get, you know, there's lack of labor shortage. I'm out here trying to find a second job because I feel like it. But I guess that's the difference between us and them. But it is crazy because I see all of these on McDonald's, and they were offering starting pay anywhere between $19 to $33 an hour, but that's for part-time. Regardless, though, yeah. Right.
So yeah, super sad of me, right?
Yeah, right. It's pretty wild just to see, like, how, I don't know, I don't even know how to put it, topsy-turvy. That's such a goofy way to say it, but that's kind of what it is. You know, they're so desperate for people and also so ready to take advantage of people, too, because everything's just been so upset over the last 2 years that this is a perfect time to take advantage of people.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially in this type of service jobs, all those people are still masked for the most part. But, you know, again, many states that said, fuck this, we're throwing everything open. The cases supposedly reported, which we know they're false anyway, but the cases supposedly reported have dropped significantly. And so arguably it could be, say, if you wear the mask, that's what's making you sick because you're breathing your own shit for all that time that you're in. And, I mean, I got a couple of people at work that wear the mask, and I just look at them. And a friend of mine had sent me this meme last year, and I laughed my ass off when I saw it. It was a picture of Tony Montana in that scene when he looked at the assassin there outside the UN, and he was fucking kind of cussing him out. So I had this, like, disgusted look on his face. And it says, when you see someone driving by themselves with a mask on, and then there's Tony Montana goes saying, you stupid fuck. And I lost my ass when I was having dinner with my folks, man. And I laughed my ass off as soon as I read. I couldn't stop laughing. And I was like, that was all you said. A friend of mine sent me a great meme. And I said, this is brilliant. And my mom's older, so I mean, obviously she doesn't really understand memes. But it was funny as fuck. And I'm like, that's great, man. So, I mean, it's really cool to see stuff like that. But, you know, every time I see some dumbass driving around with a mask on in the car by themselves, I just go and be stupid fuck.
I see that shit all the time, too. I mean, people, and I have seen an uptick in masks recently, of course, but some people have just been doing it this whole time. I remember, and I don't know where this was, but some mayor or something was actually encouraging people to wear masks inside their own house if they had,
yes.
You know, family members from other households over.
Was that Miami or something like that?
I don't know.
Speaking of mayors, I'm glad you brought this up. Apparently, there was a federal FBI investigation in Cincinnati, which led to credible evidence that Dayton Mayor Nan Wally, who supposedly wrote to, like, Stardom when we had the dumbass shooter here in the Oregon district, okay, and the first thing she advocates for is gun control, right? And she starts going full authoritarian on some shit down here, and I guess she realized she wasn't going to get as far as she thought, so she kind of backed off. But, and I wanted so bad to go to one of those city council meetings and just say, you know, look, Man Wally, whatever the fuck your name is, and say, look, you're a despicable human being. If you really gave two shits about this town, and if you're truly a Daytonian, you'd be like, look, don't let this asshole fucking ruin what you think about the Gem City. Look at all the great opportunities we have here. Look at all the real estate we have available for new businesses. We are the crossroads of America with I-75 and I-70. And not only that, but we have Wright Patterson Air Force Base, which is where Hangar 18 is. Hello, the alien bodies are in there, motherfucker. And then top that off, you know, the fact that any place like McDonald's wants to try a new sandwich or something, they come to Dayton as a test market because of the demographic makeup that we have here. So if your new product is going to fare fairly well here, it may do well in other major markets. So So there's a lot of advantages to Dayton, Ohio, and its history here. And I was just wanted so bad to just go down and just throw it in her fucking face. Because, you know, I was born and raised in Dayton and even graduated from a Dayton high school. So, I mean, you know, the bottom line is, dude, I have some skin in the game, because if the core of Dayton goes to shit, then everything else follows. You know, it's like basically if the star goes fucking supernova, all the planets are going to go with it, you know. So that's the thing that gets me is now that she's been found to be on the take, it makes sense why she had certain stances. And then to top that off, I guess she was not going to run for re-election for mayor, which she probably would have won handily. She's looking at running for governor. And I'm like, well, most people would say, well, that kills her chance of being governor. Oh, no, she's a Democrat. That basically is her rite of passage of why she should be governor, because she is on the take.
She's about to run for governor in the next election? This is something I hadn't heard about at all, but I suppose I wouldn't keep up with something like that.
Yeah, that's why she threw her hat in the ring when DeWine ran, and of course she fell at Misery's. Nobody really knew who the fuck she was. And then conveniently the Dayton shooter happened, and now she thinks she's somebody. So I would love so bad before she leaves to call her out and get that shit on tape, because I would just like, you know what, you're exposed. And what that means is subhuman piece of shit. You know what I mean? It's just seriously, when you look at her record, man, she's despicable. I mean, seriously, when they talk about if Republicans make a gaffe, they should have their entire existence wiped off the face of the planet. You look at what this woman stands for and what she's done, her entire existence should be erased off this planet. I mean, seriously, she's an authoritarian piece of shit. And most Democrats are like that. The days of, like, John Kennedy and Jim Trafficant Democrats don't exist anymore. And the Tulsi Gabbards that are out there, they're completely ignored. And that's the worst part of it. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard is the first Democrat that I've ever supported and ever sent money to, because I wanted her voice to be heard on that stage. She was like Ron Paul to the Democrats on some of the things that she was standing for. Plus the fact that she's an active serving reservist and with the rank of major. Major, okay? This woman is to be at least somewhat respected because of the fact that she's near the top of her field. And not only that, but when she had to go on her two-week duty, she didn't shirk it just because she was running for president. She went and did her 2 weeks in Indonesia and then came back. So that says a lot about her character. At least she had good things to say and valid viewpoints. And she nailed Kamala Jo Harris during debates. It was great.
I've kind of come to the conclusion that, you know, for me anyway, I think a lot of people feel this way too. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter who you vote for. You know, because you're all voting for the same thing at the end of the day, really. I didn't even vote in the last election, not even state level.
Well, this last election showed you that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you vote for. If they want that fucker in, they're going in. And so I am completely disenfranchised as a voter. I can tell you that I'm completely disenfranchised as a voter, even on local elections. If they want that levy to pass, they'll just click a couple keys and it'll pass. I mean, I am completely disenfranchised.
Well, yeah, and I mean, no matter what you do, you're also just giving your money to, you know, not your money. Well, yeah, your money. But no matter who you vote for, you're pretty much for whoever stills for Israel the best. And
yes.
It seems like a waste of time. We're not going to get anywhere from voting. Maybe at the local level, I don't want to say one way or another for that, because I think it is really important that we do try to, you know, affect our personal, you know, like jurisdictions and localities like that. You know, you want to go in and make your voice heard about the mayor of Dayton. And I think that's a great idea, because we still kind of have a voice But at that level, but, you know, not to the extent that it would probably make that much of a difference in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trump was the last opportunity to try to clean that up. And we saw how easily compromised his administration was between who was on the inside of it as well as his interests. And
right.
Kushner.
Oh, yeah.
Kushner basically ran this foreign policy, and it went from America first to Israel first real quick. So
yeah, they put Kushner in charge of the Israeli-Palestinian relations, and I just found that hilarious. This is quite a few years ago, too, but something that I always thought was funny. Yeah, not surprising, of course.
Not only that, but look at the list of people that Trump pardoned. 80% of them are Jews.
Yeah, he's just kind of like a proxy Jew. And, you know, he didn't pardon any of the political prisoners that have... He didn't pardon any, like, white people that have actually done anything for pro-white people, you know? So it really doesn't make a difference who you vote for at this point. I'm sure some people would like to differ on that, and, of course, everyone has the right to think what they want. But to me, what it boils down to is even, and this is part of the reason I stopped paying attention so much to a lot of these things, unless it affects me directly. I mean, of course, it all affects me directly, but there's just so much going on, and I know that my going, you know, marching down to that little voter booth and penciling in whatever I feel, it's not going to do anything for me.
Well, I've seen some signage in different parts of the Dayton area where it says unmask our kids, and I thought that was pretty simple. It's just simple white text on black background. It says unmask our kids, and I'm just like, wow, that's freaking awesome. So, I mean, people starting to step up, but and I've seen some people run for various school boards across the country that are raising stink about certain things. And a couple of them are very reprimanded. Matter of fact, I saw a video someone sent me somewhere here in Southwest Ohio. This guy is apparently a very accomplished and published doctor that was warning about getting pushed in the jab, and says basically, I don't know why you guys are pushing for levies, because basically, in 2 years, it won't matter, because if all your faculty are jabbed, within 2 years, they'll all be dead. And he pointed out the three main reasons why this was going to happen, because of some of the side effects of taking the jab. And I'm like, wow, this guy's got his shit together. So I'm surprised that video is still up. So, I mean, with Fascist Book, you post anything about COVID, even if you just have an honest question about it, instantly these banners come up that say, oh, disinformation or faulty or this is partially true or whatever. Yet when it raises serious questions about the voter integrity in several states, you either get thrown in a Fascist Book jail for 30 days or your profile gets outright disabled.
That's what I've heard. I have a cousin who's still on there. I got off of Facebook a while ago. It's not worth being on for me. I've totally tuned out. I don't think I'm going to ever get anything out of being on social media, watching the news, other than to see what they're thinking, you know, like stay one step ahead. Although I feel like at this point it doesn't really matter. This sounds like really black pill, if that's what you want to call it. So I don't want to make it sound like that, but, you know, it doesn't really matter what you think or do. Like, you'll always be one step ahead in knowing what their next move is, but it's a matter of figuring out.
Yeah, well, you want to monitor enemy communications. It's what you want to do. So, yeah. I see.
Right.
Oh, that reminds me. Talk about COVID. Sunday's tape in the Dayton Daily News front page. Talk about employers here. Employers, again, adapt to latest challenges. Health Board urges companies to require workers to get vaccine. This is written by Thomas Naw, GNAW. Is obviously a hardcore Marxist. And basically, there's a picture here at Wright-Patt Air Force Base where this black Air Force major, Tito Brooks, is a podiatrist. He received the vaccine from Captain Erica Iyer, the flight commander, which is interesting. And basically, they listed the criminal right there. So, you know, and then the most of this entire
front page in the section is all COVID, coronavirus the latest. And it's interesting some of the bullshit they put in here. They have an article that's attacking them using the, what is it, the ivermectin? It says efforts grow to stamp out use of parasite drugs for COVID-19. So here's a disinformation piece. And on the next page, MJ, says, pandemic again disrupts plans for Jewish services.
Oh, God. That's when things are getting serious.
Oh, yeah, that's when it's getting serious. Then it says virtual schools, little disruption, lots of aid. Yet they still want these levies to pass to that pays for brick-and-mortar buildings that are no longer being used. And then here's one. Hostile school board meetings have members calling it quits. Protesters angry about COVID-19 mandates shout and gesture as they are escorted out of a Clark County school board meeting in Las Vegas. So you got people that are starting to really think about that. Then you got all major employers here in the Dayton area that are requiring mandates. You've got Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. You've got Premier Health, Kettering Health Network, Crown Equipment. Wow, I've always liked that company. I will make sure I no longer use their products. Montgomery County Government, Kroger. Kroger is getting away with this shit because they're saying if you don't get the jab, you have to wear a mask all day. If you do get the jab, they're giving you $100. So essentially what's going to happen in legal if you receive the money, you cannot file a grievance because basically you were already compensated for your future loss. That's exactly how they're going to play that shit. You watch any litigation attorney, they will say that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. $100 totally makes up for blood clots and possible heart attacks or aneurysms or something.
So to close up with you, what are some of the things that under your call right now, some things that you just look at and says, oh, God, I got to fucking get on Sunny's show and tell them about this bullshit?
You know, so you mentioned ivermectin. Did you know who Joe Rogan is, right?
I really haven't looked into it, but I saw someone that posted said that basically the COVID cases in India and Japan have dropped 98% because they're using ivermectin.
Well, so Joe Rogan, he's like one of I think he's like the top paid podcaster in the world or something. Basically,
yeah.
He's a very influential man. And you know, sometimes the type of shit he talks about, the type of guests he brings on, they're pretty questionable. I've even heard people say, like, he's being pretty much spoon-fed the words to say, you know. But recently, he's put out a lot of, like, anti-vax type of stuff. And he actually had this woman come on, some doctor. I guess it's a doctor that he's a big fan of. He had a doctor come on about the pros and cons of getting the vaccine. And I watched a short bit. I don't have the patience to listen to Joe Rogan the entire way through. Sometimes it's all right, but I don't have the patience for that,
like
to be honest.
Stern, right? as soon as you think Howard Stern's actually talking about a real topic, it's like, oh, wow, he's actually talking about some real shit. Then all of a sudden they go, another question. Have you taken it up the ass?
That's actually pretty similar to Joe Rogan. But he was debating this doctor and, you know, time and time again, like she would say all of these, she would try and advocate for the vaccine, but he would ask her questions and she'd be like, well, I don't know, but what I can tell you is it's good to get the vaccine. He'd be like, he'd say why? And I couldn't tell you the questions he asked, because I only paid so much attention, but they were pretty good, thorough, detailed questions. You know, he clearly did his research and she just couldn't provide an answer. And then, like, the very next day or something like that, it comes out that he tests positive for COVID. And CNN actually took his picture. I thought this was hilarious. He took a video on his Instagram or whatever social media account he has. And he was taking a video of himself talking about how he had COVID. And I think he even talked about how he was going to use ivermectin. And CNN actually took the video and, like, grayed out the color in his face. and made him look sicker than he was and was trying to lambast him basically for talking about the fact that he was going to be using ivermectin. And it's just so funny because I can't believe that people actually pay attention to CNN anymore, but a lot of people do, sadly. And he apparently overcame COVID, if he ever actually had it, in a very short amount of time by using ivermectin and various other supplements. And now,
I've been trying to manipulate the pictures of him.
Who mentioned that he doesn't live out there. He used to, and his friend out there said they're actually taking ivermectin off of the shelves. You know, it's some sort of animal medication. I don't know, I truly don't. But they're pretty much taking it off of the shelves so people don't abuse it and so they can reserve it for the animals who actually need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that they were manipulating images of him trying to take out the color of him, basically taking out the magenta, so basically it looked like he was ashen looking, like he was really pale. And it's like, you see stupid shit like this all the time. I've seen where they've had robbery footage of a black robber in a convenience store, and they would basically just bump up the contrast on this guy in particular and made him look like he's like a tanned white guy.
Isn't there a commentator on CNN who has, like, over the years increasingly become darker? Like some mixed commentator? I want to say Don Lemon, but I don't know if that's who it is.
I didn't know until about a year ago that Don, and it could be either Don Lemon or Don Lemon. I don't know what the fuck it is. Basically, he's a fag. So I think
that's kind of funny, because
the fact that in the black community, that's very frowned upon, because actually, even though their family units have pretty much don't exist hardly anymore, they still have a lot of traditional values, and they don't have a lot of high tolerance for fags. And so they see it as an affront that the fact that why would a black man want it up the ass when he can go get all the ass he wants? You know what I mean? I mean, seriously. And because illegitimacy rates through the roof in the black community ever since the Civil Rights Acts were passed 50 years ago. So, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting that anyone who would even have homosexuality. I mean, and not only that, I just found out because I was wondering about if this actor is still alive or not. Oh, God, it's his damn name. Give me a second. Oh, shit. Oh, the fuck is his name? Oh, Paul Winfield. Paul Winfield, who's partially in The Terminator and in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and some other shows. I did not know he was gay. I had no freaking clue. I just happened to come across his Wikipedia and start reading it about a week or so ago, and I was like, I'll be damned, I never knew he was gay. And he never acted effeminate, so I'm assuming he was stepping and not fetching, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just kind of like, I never knew he was. And that's how it should be, where you don't know that if that actor has those type of tendencies. Like Rock Hudson, he was seen as a main leading man back in the 50s. Turns out he was gayer than shit. He actually went out with all these starlets. Nobody would question anything he was doing. Then when he died of AIDS in 85, it was because he was a fag. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It's like, oh, people just found out Rock Hudson was gay. But a lot of his co-stars knew, you know. It's like, wow. But, you know, again, Winfield kept his shit in the closet. He never really talked about it publicly. Maybe later in life he did, but he never talked about it. And that's the way it should be. No one gives a fuck what you do in your bedroom. It shouldn't be a fashion accessory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, these days, I'm convinced that if you're famous and in Hollywood, you are required to come out as some form of gay or non-binary or transgender. Because that just seems to be the trend these days. And
It's funny you mention that because that's what Chappelle was talking about. He goes, dude, at some point, they make every major masculine guy has to dress in drag at some point. You've seen Kurt Russell do it. You've seen, wasn't Stallone in something where he had a dress drag or something once? Wesley Snipes a lot of these major Hollywood actors, even Patrick Swayze, at some point they end up doing some sort of, drag scene. Not that, but you look at a lot of these porns and stuff. Two things I've seen mostly, especially when it comes to white women, they make damn sure they always do the lesbian segments, but what I've noticed is they make sure they always do the black ones. There always has to be a BBC thing, or even worse, they're actually on the black channel, where basically they're in like a group gangbang situation. And I watched a couple of these clips, man. They take full advantage of that white woman. I mean, they basically just abuse her. I mean, it isn't just something for show. You could tell, it's like, oh, yeah, I got ourselves a – they make sure they get, like, a petite white girl, and they get the biggest, bullish black guys they can find. I mean, we're talking, like, 6 foot, you know, probably weigh, you know, good 250. And this girl probably weighs maybe 110 wet, and she's, like, 5'2". And it's just like they make damn sure they run the train on her. And it's like, how could even if you're into that, how could you even find that as entertaining? I mean, to me, it's just sort of a gangbang rape scene, just sort of a snuff film. You know what I mean? It's not entertaining to watch, man. It's disgusting, actually.
That's just a testament to the fact of how much people like Harvey Weinstein actually control the media.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole couched thing, I've seen that, too. That's another trend they show on some of these porn channels. They have these, casting sessions. And it's like this particular chick is like, okay, this is her casting session. And, oh, she was surprised by this or surprised by that. And it's just kind of like, God damn it, dude. I mean, you sit there watching for, it's like, okay, we're talking about 7, 8 to 15-minute clip, and you have to scrub through it because most of it's so boring anyway. But then it's like, wow, she didn't expect this to happen. Do you think? I mean, seriously, you put yourself in a situation to be compromised and there's a camera on, but someone's not going to take full advantage of that? You're the dumbass that fucking did that. You know what I'm saying?
That isn't stuff I would necessarily know about, but what I have noticed is, you know, like, especially in, actually, I remember, so somebody that I was a huge fan of when I was a child was Katy Perry, and I remember, too, that there came a time where she ended up having this huge mental breakdown, from what I would guess happened is that they finally told her that she was too old to be, like, you know, taken advantage of anymore, and she didn't know what to do with herself because she wasn't able to, like, she just really had nothing in life because she'd been so used to, like, being taken advantage of by this entire industry that does nothing but, like, exploit her as, and these days there's all these, like, really young, not just women, but young men, kids, like teenagers, who are becoming really famous. And every single one of them is coming out as either, like, gay or non-binary or transgender. We even have this, what's his name, Desmond the Great or something, who's, like, 12 or 13. And he's a cross-dresser of sorts. And really, it's just his mom exploiting a child's sexuality for monetary value. But what's happening is that there's this entire generation of children who is being raised to – you know, pretty much believe that they don't have any sense of identity and they can just kind of do whatever they want. And it leads them into a life full of, like, mental illness and, you know, a lack of fulfillment. And people are just, they call themselves gay when they're really not. And they just don't know what's going on in the world around them or even within their own world.
I think where they do that is if you have no identity, that means you have no drive to resist. So more easily compromises you to do that stuff. I mean, I've heard that the FCC has actually allowed the use of the word fuck after 10 p.m. on broadcast television, which I find very interesting because a lot of kids stay up late. Now,
they totally do. They allow that for sure. I remember being in high school and seeing people on TV saying fuck, and I was just in shock.
Right. It's like I remember first listening to gangster rap back in the day and being able to hear all these guys saying those obscenities. You're like, wow. It was kind of like rock and roll all over again because it's, you know, basically nothing sacred. You know, just to, you pop in something like NWA Straight Outta Compton, and as soon as you put in that title track, you're like, holy shit, dude. And, you know, just, but yet they wanted to bitch about Wasp having a song called Animal Fuck Like a Beast, and then the PMRC was raising hell about the album cover. It's like, dude, those are one of the things that brought up. Why is it the warning labels on heavy metal albums but not on gangster rap albums? There's a serious problem here. A guy uses a word a couple times in a song, you guys want to throw a shit fit, but when a guy uses bad language throughout the entire song, throughout the whole album, you guys don't say shit, you turn the other way. And again, NWA was managed by a Jew. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Even the record label, Interscope Records, run by two Jews. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious. They put this shit out there and made it acceptable for the public to consume it. And Public Enemy, they rally against the bad white man. Do you know who 92% of their listening audiences were? White suburban males.
Yeah, you know, and it's actually, I think about this a lot, actually. It's quite sinister, you know, because when you're young and you're just listening to all of these different things.
Impressionable, right.
Yeah, and you're listening to all these things. Like, I was a big fan of Led Zeppelin when I was a kid. And I still love Led Zeppelin and a lot of other music like that. And, you know, you're a kid and you're just kind of, like, growing into yourself and you're like, fuck yeah, man, this is awesome. But when you actually start to realize what's going on, and especially when it comes to, like, NWA and stuff like that, completely stems back to the whole idea of, the Frankfurt School and critical theory. And it's this idea of, like, changing the way people think and changing the way people speak. And the more you change the way people speak, the more you change the way people think. And it's just this vicious cycle to the point that people really aren't capable of thinking for themselves. And our language has devolved. You know, the English language, especially in America, has just evolved so rapidly over the last 20 to 30 years. And I'm not even trying to put down all this kind of music. I still enjoy it. And I feel like once you're aware of the problem, it's a lot easier to compartmentalize, like, the enjoyment you get out of a certain sound and the awareness you have of what it's doing to society. Whether someone agrees with me on that or not, it's a different subject. But, you know, when you're aware of it, it's a lot easier to take in. But when there's so many kids out there who aren't aware of it, they're the ones that are being affected by this whole concept of critical theory and, like, changing the way we speak and think constantly. You know, there's tons of suburban white kids now who pretty much, they try to speak in, like, Ebonics, basically. Not because that's how they were raised, but that's because that's what they hear around them. And they want to be cool because that's what's cool. And as you pointed out, and I think even Ice-T pointed this out quite a few times, you know, back when they were really going strong, like, their managers and stuff were Jews. And that's everyone in the Frankfurt School is founded by Jews. So it's just this ongoing thing that's been going on for quite some time, you know, many, many decades.
Well, and again, it's funny because even some of the music that I listened to back then that I still listen to, I would not want, you know, any kids of mine listen to, you know, especially when they're younger. You know, I would self-censor that. You know, matter of fact, if you get a chance just for shits and giggles, look up Dee Snider from Twisted Sister when he testified in front of the Congress about the Parents Music Resource Center thing. Blackie Lawless of Wasp was actually supposed to be there as well, but for whatever reason, he backed out of it, but Dee Snider stepped up to the plate, and he spoke very well about stuff. He even said that there's music, actually, I would not let my kids to listen to. But that being said, he said, but I have some control over what my kids listen to because I actually take the time to make sure that there's some things I don't want them to listen to at certain ages, and they're either going to listen to it later on because they'll be exposed to it, or they'll have more access to it, and I won't always be able to stop it. But while they're still young, I can say, you can't listen to this, you can't listen to that, when that's the parents' responsibility. And, again, I thought he spoke very well. And because Twisted Sister became the sixth term for heavy metal overnight. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But you go back and watch that video clip, and it's about 28 minutes long, maybe 42. But it was a major rallying cry for freedom of speech to be able to say, look, I put out stuff out there. I'm not making people go out and buy my albums or come to our concerts. You know, people that wish to do so can, and we appreciate their business. But the same stroke is, if you don't like what we do, what we represent, turn off the TV and don't go to the concerts. It's that simple.
Excuse me. Yeah, I wonder, is it that simple, though? I mean, there's so many parents out there.
Really,
they're
it
all,
is.
Just as, there's so
I
many
mean,
parents.
If you play a song on the radio, if you play a song on the radio and you don't like it, nobody's making you turn to keep that radio turned on, you know? For example,
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I completely, you know, it is that simple in that sense. But for all of the people out there who aren't as of sound mind as people like you and I, you know, that's what I truly end up worrying about usually.
Well, that's why parents need to take the time to see what the kids are exposed to. Once in a while, open up your damn kid's textbook and see what's going on in there, especially American history or a government book. You'd be surprised how many kids have stepped up to independent media and showed the indoctrination going on in the books. Matter of fact, one time I was there in Springboro High School in the library during a function, and I just so happened to kind of look around the books, and I saw a book on world government, and I just absolutely went ballistic because I'm like, why is this even in here? And what I noticed was some of the authors' books that they had in there, I can't remember if there was a book on Barry Goldwater. It was the last one he wrote, which is more about him as opposed to some of his other books like Conscience of a Conservative or whatever, or some other shit. And I think they might have had a Sean Hannity book, but most of the stuff they had, there was all left-wing commentators.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is completely tilted, man. And my taxpayer money's paying for this shit? So the libraries are completely compromised, not just in schools, but public libraries. And we need to get people to start going and say, hey, we're not going to keep funding these damn public libraries unless you've got, unless you're objective. If you're going to have,
yeah.
For example, if you're going to have Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, then you need Dick Morris's rebuttal, which is Fahrenheit 9/11. So at least, and have them side by side in the same things. So that way people have the option of looking at both films and then drawing conclusions on their own.
Oh yeah, definitely. I wonder how much people are actually going to, excuse me, you know, do that, because a lot of these public libraries, they're in big cities who are typically controlled by Democrats, and the voters, you know, those areas are predominantly Democrat voting. So how much of that are you going to get in a public library? And you know, I don't remember what it is, but there is some level of book banning that's already been going on, at least like online. I think what we really need to be doing is just archiving all of the information we can before it's too late, so we can spread it to people rather than relying on public resources. I mean, maybe if you go out into a more rural area, I know in the city I live, you'd be hard pressed for that to happen just because it's mostly non-whites, and then the white people who do vote are Democrats. And it's a huge library, but they don't care about having any sort of argument to Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. They wouldn't want that. So it's almost like a catch-22.
Yeah. It seems like no matter what you do, when someone does come out with a rebuttal, the rebuttal is, like, completely ignored. And so it becomes a complete indoctrination and a one-sided argument, that's for sure. So what are your closing thoughts for the night, MJ?
Well, first, I'd like to thank you for having me on. I'm sorry I was kind of all over the place. I am recovering from the coof, after all. But I think this is a time that we really need to stay prudent, and a lot of us are going to have to start doing some real soul searching. You know, we can try to rely on the concept of things being constitutional or unconstitutional, but that hasn't always fared in our favor, especially recently. So I think it's very important that we, and this is speaking to myself, in fact, keep up with what's going on around us, because that's something I have failed to do recently. At least, you know, not I could do it better than I have been. Just, you know, even if you disagree or you get tired of hearing it, it's good to just know what other people around us are saying so we can get an idea of what's going on. And, you know, make that decision. Are you going to be the sheep or are you going to be the wolf? I mean, when you look around, it's easy to tell who's who, but who are you? You don't want to be a sheep for 100 years, just like you said earlier.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's an excellent thing out there. I forget the guy's name, but you look up on YouTube, it's called All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. There's two versions. Mm-hmm. There's more of a slimmed-down version where it's like, I don't know, 45 minutes long, and then there's a full-length version where he fully explains how much the banksters have manipulated nations into wars even before the United States. So, I mean, hell, the French and Indian War, for example, is completely run by those that benefited from it, you know. Another reason why the British had to tax the hell out of the colonies because they had to pay off a huge war debt. And, of course, it pissed the colonials off, and they said, fuck this shit. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting when you start tracing back. One thing Rush Limbaugh always said was follow the money, because when you do, it always ends up in the same few hands. That's for sure.
No, yeah, that's absolutely true.
And those hands always happen to be clasped together. Ever notice that?
Rubbing together.
That's right. Okay, so we appreciate you coming on, MJ, and hopefully we're definitely going to hear more of you, because the fact, especially if you get over the bullshit, because the fact that, you know, we definitely enjoy your commentary and your the way your worldview is definitely refreshing, because the fact that you've got a great cadence, you definitely have a voice for radio, and just
it's better than a face for radio.
Yes, not that, but I would love to see some of the guests that you would feature. So that's always a cool thing. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, have a good night.
Hail victory.
Hail victory.
Okay, so that's Mary Jane. So, again, we got to hear some of her thoughts on some of the various topics. And even though she thought she was scatterbrained, she actually wasn't, because of the fact that, as you can see, we fed off each other pretty good and within the same sphere, but it helps us to do more of a shotgun approach. So that's always refreshing. So now that it's good to see more females stepping up, that even if they just call into a show and just give their two cents thing, so that way, when you can hear their voices, you know that what they think and what they say will be crystal clear. So that's what really matters. We need to have more of our women folk step up and be heard. Okay, so we are going to close out the thing with a couple of clips that Gunnar had uploaded on his show a while back. And I'm interested in hearing some of these clips myself, because I heard them a while back, but I haven't heard them recently. So here's a clip called The Deadliest Virus, which is communism.
You can't kill an idea, but ideas can kill you. What if I told you that this has all happened before? The riots, the violence, church burning, attacks on police, destruction of private property, all in the name of equality. What is the deadliest thing mankind has ever encountered in world history? Is it disease, famine, nuclear weapons? Not even close. By sheer body count, it's an idea. This is the story of the deadliest virus in the world, communism. The year is 1848,
Europe is burning. Political upheaval leads to mass violent riots in over 50 countries. Buildings burn, shops are looted, and national militias are called in to quell the mob. Sound familiar? This year, an obscure socialist named Karl Marx publishes the Communist Manifesto. The Communist Manifesto outlines how to destroy capitalism and usher in communism through the means of socialism. To accomplish this goal, the manifesto pits two groups against each other based on their identity. Bourgeois versus proletariat. Essentially, business owners versus the workers of that business. See, identity hatred is the key component that makes communism work.
The history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles, Marx writes.
Today, we would call this identity politics. The principle is the same. Define people by their groups and pit them against each other with a perceived injustice, and then violence.
Marx embraces violence. He calls for the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions and for the common ruin of the classes.
What we are left with after this violent class warfare is a communist state. Marx spells out plainly what this looks like.
Complete state ownership of your life. No private property, high taxes, government control of communications and media, government jobs for workers, government income for all workers, mandatory government education, and government that supersedes the church in power.
These are the programs that the left is pushing today, nearly 200 years after the writing of the Communist Manifesto, and they're using identity politics and, yes, violence to do it. Remember, this is about power and control.
In 1917, Marx's ideas got their big shot. Vladimir Lenin was a Russian Marxist living in exile in Switzerland during World War I. Lenin believed wholeheartedly in communism and saw the Russian political upheaval during the war as his shot to create a communist state. Shockingly, when Lenin asked the German military for passage to Russia in the midst of a war between the two countries, Germany enthusiastically said yes.
The Germans treated Lenin and his communism as a deadly weapon to be used against their Russian enemy, a virus to infect the opponent and cripple them.
The Germans agreed to transport Lenin across the front lines into Russia, but only via a sealed train, so Lenin and his virus could not break out into Germany.
Unleashing the deadly weapon of communism on the Russian people was a horrifically effective tactic. As soon as Lenin arrived in Russia, he began to employ identity politics and social justice as a potent tool in his civil war. Lenin told his armed revolutionaries in 1918,
"Comrade, hang, and I mean hang so that the people can see, not less than 100 known rich men. Do this so that for hundreds of miles around, the people can see, tremble, know, and cry. They are killing and will go on killing."
Lenin won using identity politics to pit groups against each other, incite violence, create anarchy, and then the virus took hold.
Private property and businesses were immediately dissolved. Freedom of speech eliminated. Individual freedoms crushed. Economic collapse. Famine. Starvation. Secret police raids. Millions of Russians sent to concentration camps.
More people were sent to concentration camps in communist Russia than in Nazi Germany. In spite of practiced horrors in Russia, communism spread, and always by force.
Eastern Europe, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, North Korea, Cuba, and parts of Africa fell to communist revolutions and dictators.
It's critical to note, this mass death is not caused by foreign forces, but from within. Communism kills in the name of equality. They kill their own people. Communists do not care. They are indifferent to the suffering. Man-made famines and mass starvation in concentration camps are the norm, the cost of social justice. The death toll numbers under communism are staggering.
Eastern Europe, 1 million. Vietnam, 1 million. Afghanistan, 1.5 million. Africa, 1.7 million. North Korea, 2 million. Cambodia, 2 million. Soviet Russia, 20 million people.
But nowhere is the genocidal, sociopathic bloodlust of communism more evident than the dark history of communist China. China became a communist state in 1949 after a bloody, prolonged civil war led by Mao Zedong. After becoming a communist dictator, Mao joked about the killing of business owners in his own country. 30 million people.
"We have so many people. We can afford to lose a few. Mao's attempt to industrialize China, known as the Great Leap Forward, murdered more than 45 million people in a few short years, many simply from starvation.
A total of 65 million Chinese nationals were murdered under Mao's communism. Mao kept power in spite of the genocide. Communists never give up power, ever.
They don't have to. The state is God and you are nothing. Mao's political party remains in power in China to this day, and they exercise an ironclad grip on its people.
The Communist Party of China's failed response to the coronavirus cost many innocent people their lives.
The virus outbreak, most likely from incompetent management of their own viral labs, was made exponentially worse by the communist regime's inability to admit wrongdoing and warn the rest of the world. These actions directly led to the global spread of the deadly virus, resulting in the deaths of tens of thousands of Americans.
But as always, with communism, the worst is yet to come. Many of the organized leftists torching American cities are Marxists. They admit it, they say so, and they are practicing the tenets of communism to the letter.
We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
Use identity and class division to destroy private property in the name of justice. Demonize capitalists. Publicly persecute those who disagree with you. Incite violence and seize power and control.
In 1932, Stalinist-backed communists in Germany formed a group to violently clash with police, terrorize the public, and physically assault their political enemies in the street. The name of that group?
Antifasciste Acton, Antifa. This was their symbol. Their tactics have now moved to our streets, and so have their motivations.
Vladimir Lenin and Karl Marx both agreed. The goal of socialism is communism. Power and control. It is always about power and control. What is happening right now in America is not new. In fact, it's centuries old. The tactics are meant to bewilder you and make you question your institutions. They're meant to divide us and raise what we know as America to the ground. It's a revolution by the deadliest virus known to man. Communism. You can't kill an idea, but ideas can kill you. We must fight this virus to survive.
All righty then. I thought that was a damn good clip, and he nailed it on the head, that's for sure. So very good, powerful stuff there. It definitely makes you think a little bit and start making interesting shit. So, again, opening song tonight was Needle in the Suture by Metal Church. I thought that was actually pretty much top of all, man, that's for sure. So, yeah, good shit. And so we are going to close with some serious ROC and jam out for the last little bit of the night. So we are closing out with Last Resort, Freedom. And we will catch you next week. Swachima.
Into Resolution Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty. Of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look toward the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.